Welcome to Mosaic House Church Online Campus Worship Service. I am your host, Pastor Victor. And friends, I am deeply, deeply glad that you are here because I believe the Lord Jesus Christ has a message of hope and courage. No doubt you have been experiencing this frenzy of despair and fear, which is everywhere. We hear news after news. Schools are closing down, airports are closing down, restaurants are closing down, churches are closing down, and everything is being shut down to limit and mitigate the spread of the virus, and which we all must do and adhere to. But my concern is not so much what's happening in the world, my concern is what's happening in our hearts. I sense despair and fear everywhere. And that's why I believe the Lord has provided for today a really important message for you and for me. So friends, how do we respond to the frenzy of fear and despair? Do we underreact or do we overreact? Some people underreact. They say, oh, this is nothing, don't worry about it. They trivialize the danger and the seriousness of this virus. For them, nothing is different. Nothing has changed. God does not want us to underreact, nor does God want us to overreact. We have heard in the news that everything is gone when you go to a superstore or grocery store or Costco store. There is so little left in the shelves because people are panicking. They're gripped by fear and they're concerned. Uh-oh, what's going to happen? So they are overreacting. More for me and less for everybody else. They overreact. And I believe what God is saying to us is, while He wants us to be careful, He does not want us to be fearful. So friends, here is the big idea. The big idea is this. The theme and the goal of the message. By the way, you can download the sermon outline from the resource tab. Simply go to it. One good thing about technology, you can stop the preacher. You can shut him up. And then go to the online tab on the resource and then find the sermon outline. Okay? I will be waiting for you when you're ready. The theme and the goal is this. Jesus Christ is in control. Therefore, we are not afraid. Jesus Christ, the Lord of all lords and the King of all kings, our God, He is in where? He is in control. And therefore, and that's why, we are not afraid. Say after me, we are not afraid. That's right, we are not afraid. Because in Psalm 46, I read, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. We will not fear. Why not? Because listen to this. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Friends, you see that description of God, the Lord God Almighty. We're talking about the one who is in control, Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe. He holds you and me. He holds the entire creation in His hand. He is in control. You know, He is not sitting up in heaven and goes, oh my goodness, I did not see that coming. I did not see the virus coming. He's not saying, sitting on the throne of his universe, saying, you know what? I've been so preoccupied with the global warming. I've been so preoccupied with the U.S. politics. I've been so preoccupied meeting the needs of the hungry and the poor. I simply failed to see the virus thing coming. He's not saying that. Jesus Christ is in control. He is not panicking, He is not afraid, and He is in absolute control. And that's why we can take comfort in that truth and proclamation. Jesus is in control, therefore we're not afraid. And since we're not afraid, we want to have three responses. I believe God is saying, since Christ is in control, you're not afraid, and this is how you should live. 1, 2, 3. Number one, we live by faith, not fear. Write that word, faith. We live by what? Faith, not by fear. I read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. The Word of God says, for we live by faith, not by sight. We live by faith, not by sight. In the book of Hebrews, God defines faith this way. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and being certain of the things that we do not see. You see, if we live by sight, by what we saw, it is natural for us to experience despair and fear everywhere, right? Because what we see is nothing but helplessness and hopelessness. We are afraid because we're being shaped by our sight. Instead, Jesus Christ is saying, no, you live by faith. Faith is what? Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And what do we hope for? That Jesus Christ is in control. He rules and reigns. He is the sovereign king of the entire universe. In fact, Christ himself says in the book of John 14 these following words. Verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. He goes on to say in verse 27, peace I live with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Friends, listen to this. He says, my peace I give you. Not the peace that the world offers, but my peace, says Jesus, I give you. His peace is not referring to the absence of war. His peace is not referring to the absence of psychological, emotional anxiety. His peace is something more, something bigger, something more powerful. He says, my peace, right? My peace I give you, not as the world does. Friends, he's talking about peace that God the Father, God the Son Jesus Christ, and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have shared experience in eternity. Before there was creation, before there was war, before there was any virus or sickness, God, in his three persons community, experienced peace. Peace of serenity. Peace of calmness. Why? Because God is sovereign and he is in control. Jesus says, that's the peace I want to give to you today. This peace transcends wars. This peace transcends virus, sickness, and this peace is eternal and foundational. When Jesus said these words to his disciples, they were afraid. Their hearts were troubled because Jesus just informed them that he'll be leaving them. And the disciples, the followers of Christ, their hearts began to ache. Their hearts began to trouble. And Christ says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not give in to despair and fear. And why not? He says, my peace I give you, and I'm in control. Therefore, this peace will sustain you. And it's a gift. Listen to me. This peace you can't work for. This peace of Jesus, you can't earn it. This peace of Jesus Christ, you and I don't deserve it. It's a gift. We call this grace. Grace means gift. He is giving it to you because he's kind, generous, and he is strong and powerful. He says, receive it. My peace I give you. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, this is the reason for which God says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. You see that? Okay. Because if Christ is in control, He does not give us a spirit or attitude of fear and timidity or despair and fear everywhere, instead of power, self-control, and discipline. Don't you want this kind of peace? Don't you want this kind of disposition in your mind and heart right now, more than ever before? And don't you want this for your loved ones and family and friends? So first, we live by faith, not by fear. Number two, since Christ is in control and therefore we are not afraid, and that's why we live accordingly like this. Number two, we are sacrificial, not selfish. Write the word sacrificial. We are sacrificial, not selfish. You know, friends, technically, we are selfish. We are born selfish. None of us has to be taught how to be selfish. Is that right? None of your children, if you're a parent, you know, you never have had to teach them how to be selfish. You have a two-year-old child, and you set him down and say, "Son, let me give you a one-on-one lesson how to be selfish." We don't need any lessons how to be selfish because we are born that way. Here's how we feel. More for me, less for you. And more for you than less for me. Therefore, I have to look out for myself. We are self-inward focused and we become selfish. Instead, in Christ Jesus, He redeems our DNA. He changes and transforms our default mode. Even though we were born selfish, Christ changes our attitude. He changes our heart. How does He do that? He sacrificially dies for my sins and your sins on the cross. He says, "Less for me and more for you, Victor." He says, "Let me die so that you may live." He says, "Let me be forsaken by God the Father so that God may embrace you and never forsake you." You see, His love for you and me comes at a big cost. It's sacrificial. So when you experience that love of Jesus Christ, you become like Him in your heart, in your nature, in your DNA, in your default mode. We want to become like Jesus. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is talking about how we should become more like Jesus each day, every day, more and more. Chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking for your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the other." Did you catch that? God says through the pen of the Apostle Paul, don't be selfish. Be more like Jesus. How? Don't be concerned about your own interests, but look to the interests of others. As in, there is plenty more for all of us. God's arms are not short. There's so much more He can bless us. But when God gives us a gift, we have to have an open hand, right? If you give me a gift, but if I don't receive it, how will I receive the gift? So we must have this posture of open hand. What does it mean? We become like Christ by becoming sacrificial servants. We look to the interests of others. So we don't freak out and we don't go to Costco store and superstores and buy everything and hoard everything to ourselves. Instead, you say, "Neighbor, friends, I have toilet papers that I want to share with you. Let me share what I have sacrificially." I'll say more about that. In the first century, the early Christians, according to the book of Acts, here is how their lives were transformed when Christ came to their hearts. Chapter 2, verse 44 and 45. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Let's pause right there. When Christ's sacrificial transforms you, we are compelled, we are led by the power of the Holy Spirit to love our neighbors sacrificially. Love takes a sacrifice. And in this case, what did they do? They sold their possessions. They sold their land and give to anyone who was in need. So friends, let's think about that. This is a great opportunity for us to share the generosity of Jesus Christ to our neighbors, to our friends, to our family. We find out what they're in need of, and we find resources to meet their needs, material needs, emotional needs. But we don't stop there. We also meet their spiritual needs. Let's read verse 46 and 47 in Acts chapter 2. Every day, they continued to meet together. Now, let me read it one more time. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts, in the big courts, in the big house that was public, and they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together, and they were glad and sincere in hearts. See, it's the sense of community. I believe with all my heart, Jesus Christ, who is in control, demands, wants, empowers us to cultivate community. These Christians, they were in persecution. They were in need. And yet, what did they do? They met as often as possible in the temple courts, in the big house, in the big gatherings, in the public settings. And at the same time, every day in people's homes. And they ate together, they broke together, and they enjoyed the fellowship of one another. Now, obviously, we are not able to do that right now physically because we want to adhere to the guidelines and we want to be on board with everybody else in Canada, around the world. We want to mitigate, curb, flatten the spread of the virus. Yes, that's why we observe social distancing. We should do that. Okay. However, God has given us tools so that we may still cultivate community. Friends, here is one evidence God is in control. For such a time as this, do you realize He has provided all kinds of tools and opportunities for us to address what we are facing? The challenge that we face, can you imagine how we would go about mitigating the spread of the virus if we didn't have the internet? If we didn't have the Zoom, we didn't have the tools by which we may stay connected socially, relationally. You see, I believe for such a time as this, God in His infinite wisdom and sovereign power, He blessed us with the gift of technology. So we get to cultivate relationship and community. For example, with this medium, you are not, though in isolation, you are not alone. We are building community. In our weekly house churches, we are encouraged and instructed and empowered and trained to go on cultivating community according to Acts chapter 2 with one another, praying together, receiving God's word together, meeting the needs of one another, you see. And furthermore, I will say more about this at the end of the message, we are creating community hubs. And you will find one of those hubs in our resource tab. It's designed so that after the service, you may connect with one another virtually, online, through video, and pray. Build trust. Dispense confidence and courage. Now, I am so thankful to my staff this week. It has been a whirlwind, and it felt like we were feeling so overwhelmed. But I'm so thankful to God, and I'm really proud of staff at Mosaic House Church. We worked really, really fervently so that we may create this online campus so that you may feel connected. You may receive hope and courage. Let's go on. Acts chapter 2. Here is the spiritual aspect of online communities and hubs. Verse 47. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And listen to this. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And what happened? And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Friends, God wants us to meet not only the material, physical needs of our neighbors and friends, but their spiritual needs, which are more important. And we do that relationally, building community. So I want to encourage all of you, the leaders of our house churches, keep at it. Your people need you to serve by leading. And I want to thank all staff members. Thank you for investing your time, talents, and treasure. Because with your help and partnership, we are providing great service to our city. Now, once again, Jesus Christ is in control. Therefore, we're not afraid. And that's why, number one, we live by faith, not by fear. Number two, we are sacrificial, not selfish. Number three, we shine the light. We do not hide it. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Friends, here's a Lent candle. We're in the season of Lent. In the Christian calendar, Lent is a season in which we remember the suffering of Jesus Christ. We remember that he endured darkness. And Christ says, "I am the light of the world. I am the ultimate universal vaccine for eternity. And I am the light." And Christ says to you and me, the followers of Jesus Christ, now, you are the light of the world. You have my light shining in your heart. And therefore, do not hide your light. Share it. Shine it forth to the world and to your friends. Friends, this virus is serious. This virus is dangerous. This virus is contagious. But I believe, and God is reminding us, Jesus Christ, he is even stronger. Amen. He is even more contagious. His power cannot be subdued. His power cannot be stopped. Nothing can do that. Christ is the ultimate power for us. Shine the light of Jesus Christ. Tell others the hope and courage that he gives to them and to you. They need this from you. They need to hear this from you. They need to feel this from you. Friends, I don't know what the mortality rate is of this virus. It's pretty potent, okay? However, there is a more dangerous virus, a more deadly one. Its mortality rate is 100%. The Bible calls that it's the virus of sin and death. And yet Jesus says, "I am the vaccine. I am the solution. I am the remedy. I have come so that you may live fully." And that's why we are called to shine the light of Jesus Christ to our neighbors and friends. Friends, we cannot stop talking about Jesus Christ. In the words of Craig Groeschel, who are we? Who are we? We are faith-filled hope dispensers. We are faith-filled, hope-infusing agents of Jesus Christ. We multiply courage. We tell everyone we are hope dealers, not dope dealers, just making sure. We dispense hope to the world. So friends, let's sum it up. Jesus Christ, he's in control, therefore, we are not afraid. And that's why we can live in three ways today and tomorrow. We live by faith, not by fear. We are sacrificial, not selfish. We shine the light, and we do not hide it. You will see up on the screen in a moment, Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1, question and answer. This confession of the church was produced when the church was facing persecution, uncertainty. People's hearts were filled with despair and fear everywhere. And this confession really encouraged them and provided hope and courage. And I want to do this with you. I'll be reading the question part, and please read along the answer portion with me. Friends, what is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, our God and Lord, we pray today that you would build the faith of your church, that the light of Jesus Christ will shine brightly because we do not hide it. We put it high on top of wherever we are. Let the light of Christ shine. Help us to be agents, dispensers of hope and courage to a world that's filled with despair and fear. Help us to be generous with our time, resources, and help us to lead people to Jesus. For such a time as this, you have set us apart for your purpose and goodness. And friends, I want to give you an opportunity to respond. Maybe for the first time, or maybe a time in which you are rededicating yourself back to Christ. If Christ is calling you once again or for the first time, please repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I need you. I receive you as my God and Savior. Thank you for dying for the most deadly virus, my sin, my death. I receive the vaccination, your life, in my heart. And from now on, I will serve you. In the name of Christ, amen. And friends, if you say that prayer for the first time, please contact me. And you can find my contact info on the website. Okay. Now, secondly, after this, we're going to engage in a song response together. So please click that button and join me back for the blessing and the benediction. All right? God bless. Bye for now. I'll see you soon.